Jerry Stewart says they played in the nave of the church and probably drew over 70 people. Alan Caldwell, on the other hand, recalls a basement performance that attracted no more than 40. They agree that it was part of a church fund drive. "I was the one who asked him to come," says Caldwell. "We had a good time. There were a lot of young people in attendance and several adults from the class. I remember that he was kind of bashful in those days. We thanked him for what he had done, and he said, 'It's nothing. I'm glad to do something for Galloway.'" Marshall agrees they played in the basement, but reckons that the audience had 10 old ladies at most. "We set up in a little room that was maybe 16 feet square. The ladies had the chairs circled about in the back of the room, and we set up close to a place where Luther could plug his amplifier in. It took us no more than 3 or 4 minutes to set up, and then we played everything we knew for them. It lasted for about 20 minutes, I guess." Their next public performance was a fundraiser held at Bob's Barbecue on Summer Avenue for Ralph Johnson, a local powerboat racer and friend of Marshall who had been injured in a collision while racing at Hot Springs, Arkansas. A group of Johnson's racing buddies organized the event to help him pay the hospital bills he couldn't afford. The band actually got paid for their third public showing. The Hearst Motor Company, situated next to automobile sales, gave them $50 to spend a Saturday afternoon cruising Union Avenue on the back of a flatbed truck. "We didn't have a current for Luther, and so both he and John played rhythm while I played bass," says Marshall. "We were on the move all the time. Nobody paid any attention to us. Nobody knew who we were. We laughed about it, but we got paid." Cash had his mind set on making a record. He had heard of Sun Records on Union Avenue, whose owner, Sam Phillips, had recently been getting a lot of publicity as Elvis Presley's producer. On September 9th, 1954, he had even seen Elvis perform on the back of a truck for the grand opening of Cat's Drugstore on Lamar Avenue and spoke with him after the show. Elvis invited Cash to the Eagle's Nest, a ballroom on Highway 78, where WHHM DJ Sleepy Eyed John promoted rock and roll nights. That night, Cash later said, he spoke to Scotty Moore, who suggested that he give Sun Records a call. Either way, by late 1954, Cash had contacted Sam Phillips at the studio and asked for an audition. The stories vary about the way in which he approached Phillips. In one version, he phoned Phillips to tell him that he was a gospel singer and was told that Sun had no place for him, since they had always failed with gospel. In another, he got the same response, but only after arriving at the studio with Luther and Marshall and playing a gospel selection. In Cash, the autobiography, he goes solo to the first audition, where he played songs by Hank Snow and Jimmy Rogers along with his own compositions, Belshazzar and Hey Porter. In Man in Black, Marshall and Luther play together songs by Hank Snow, Jimmy Rogers, and Ernest Tubb, as well as Cash's compositions Belshazzar, Hey Porter, and Folsom Prison Blues. The archives of Sun Records detail two early sessions, and significantly, the first, dated only as late 1954, features Cash alone. During it, he recorded Wide Open Road, You're My Baby, My Treasure, and Show Me the Green, the first three songs his own compositions and the last one unattributed. The second session, dated March 22, 1955, features Cash with Luther and Marshall playing Hey Porter, Folsom Prison Blues, Wide Open Road, and Clarence Snow's My Two-Timin' Woman. All the accounts agree that Cash, Luther, and Marshall played for Phillips either in late 1954 or early 1955, and that at least part of the session was taped. To boost their sound, they took along with them A.W. Red Kernodle, another mechanic from automobile sales who sometimes sat in with them on steel guitar. Already in his mid-30s and unconfident as a musician, Kernodle panicked and couldn't tune his guitar. "He was shaking all over," remembers Marshall. "He was sitting in a chair with this little guitar on his lap, and both he and Luther were plugged into this amplifier. He stood up, laid his guitar down in the chair, and said, 'I'm going back to work. I can't do nothing but hold you guys up. You might make something, but I'm too nervous.' I told him that he should hang around a bit and get over it, but he wouldn't listen. So he just turned and walked out." They did manage, though, to impress Phillips. He could see that Cash was someone who would only sing songs that he believed in. He had integrity. The mere fact that he never sang one song at the audition that was written by another person gave me a clue that this was a man who had a message, Phillips later said. Though it should be noted that Cash had, in fact, performed songs written by others. He felt that Cash had chosen the basic musical lineup so that the fundamentals of his message would ring forth without being inundated with pretty music. Marshall recalls that the trio's unusual, ragged sound intrigued Phillips. Thank God we didn't achieve a polished sound before we went to Sam Phillips, because if we had gone up there and been real professional and had sounded like those people in Nashville, he would have sent us home. We just played the only way we knew how, and he later said that he had never heard anything like it. With the blend of John's voice, everything fell into place. It wasn't that we put it there. It just happened. Hey Porter was the first of Cash's songs that Phillips thought had potential as a single. Although written in Germany, he hadn't rehearsed it with Marshall and Luther, and it required a lot of shaping. The lyrics focused on returning to the South and contained hints of themes that would preoccupy Cash throughout his career. Home, trains, movement, America. We had to work that one up, says Marshall. You have to remember that we were two mechanics and an appliance salesman at the time, and we were not professional musicians. So it took us some time to work this thing up, to get it to a point where we felt it was the way we wanted it to be. When they recorded it, they seemed unsure whether to sound like Elvis or Hank Williams, and the guitars sound tentative and indistinct. By July 30, 1955, Cash had found his natural bass baritone voice, and the elements of the boom-chicka-boom sound had fallen into place, with Luther's flat-handed muting of the strings adding the chicka, and Marshall's heavily slapped bass supplying the boom. When Phillips asked for a flip side, they suggested the 1920s hymn, "I Was There When It Happened," but Phillips didn't want gospel tunes tucked away on the backs of his singles. He told them to write a new song, something that would contrast with Hey Porter, a love song or a tearjerker. Cash, by now, had moved into a bigger apartment at 2553 Tutwiler Avenue, and Vivian was heavily pregnant. Over a period of 2 weeks, he wrote Cry, 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 based on a catchphrase he had heard used by DJ Eddie Hill. We've got some good songs, love songs, sweet songs, happy songs, and sad songs that'll make you cry, cry, cry. He took a copy of the handwritten lyrics to Phillips, who then booked a session for a Thursday evening in May. In a letter typed during work time on Home Equipment Company letterhead, he told ex-Landsberg barbarian Ted Freeman about the session. We finally made the other side of my record. We worked 2.5 hours on it Thursday night. Finally got it perfected. Sounds like hell. No, I believe it'll be pretty good. The name of it's You're Gonna Cry, Cry, Cry. It's a flat romping daub, that old clickety-clack rhythm. Other side is Hey Porter. The name of us on the record is Johnny Cash and the Tennessee 2. When you write in to all the stations requesting it, request it, okay? It's going to be out in 2 or 3 weeks. Can't say when because I don't know. It all depends on when the market is right. When they start making the record here, I'll send you a copy. He signed the letter, Johnny Cash of Johnny Cash and the Tennessee 2. Cash originally suggested the Tennessee 3, but Marshall thought they should use John Cash and the Tennessee 2, since Cash did all the singing. Sam Phillips suggested he change his first name to Johnny because John sounded old and boring, whereas Johnny sounded young and rebellious. Marlon Brando had played a character called Johnny in The Wild One. Johnny Guitar was a recent movie directed by Nick Ray, and the R&B singer Johnny Ace had killed himself on New Year's Day in a backstage game of Russian roulette. Cash thought that at 23 he was too old to be a Johnny, but Phillips persuaded him otherwise and the name went on the label. The Cash's first child, a daughter Roseanne, arrived May 24, 1955, exactly a month before the release of Hey Porter. Cash picked up an advance copy the day before and rushed it over to disc jockey Bob Neal at WMPS, who, after approvingly playing both sides, accidentally broke it. Desperate to get radio play and unsure how long it would take to get a replacement, Cash panicked. I think that our biggest ambition when we started was just to hear ourselves on the radio, says Marshall. I know that's how I felt about it. So when I was going to work early one morning alone in the car and heard sleepy-eyed John play our record, it was almost more than I could stand. It was unbelievable. I thought that was it. The next day, about 5 stations in Memphis played it. The day after that, all of them were playing it. By the end of the week, they were all playing both sides. Within a month, every station that it had been sent to across the South was playing this record. A lot of these weren't Billboard reporting stations, but even so, the record got to number 14 in the country music charts. A late July letter to Ted Freeman captures the excitement of that spring.